Friends, we are just so excited that you're here for a very special Sunday. This last week, if you weren't here, we commissioned our students and leaders to go to a high school conference that our denomination puts on called Unite, where they go with a few thousand other teenagers and leaders and to gather together to learn more about Jesus and to understand who he is and who he's made them to be and who he's calling them to be. And so it is one of the best weeks of their lives, my life. I know that Becca had talked about it last week as something that it was just an incredible opportunity for her to go when she went, but also I know that it is an incredible opportunity to go as a leader. And so what we're going to do is, if you have no idea and you're new to our church or new to our denomination, and you're saying, well, I know what a youth conference is, but what is Unite? So take a look at the screen as we'll give you a sneak peek of what that looks like.
I could watch that all day. All right. Well, good morning, Pine Lake Covenant. Good morning, friends. It is just an absolute delight to be here this morning with a lot of our Unite crew, although I have to admit that if they didn't make it to church this morning, I do not blame them, as we are tired. But we are tired in all the good and all the right ways. So as Pastor Austin had said, this week 12 students and 3 adult leaders went on a trip of a lifetime to San Diego, California. 12 students, like, that's the perfect biblical number. So we won. And I came home yesterday with this constant counting in my head. Like, we were counting 12 at the airport, we were counting 12 at In-N-Out Burger, we were counting 12 at every meal, we were counting 12 at worship sessions, and 12 in the van, and 12 at the beach. So when the huge wave would come over us and everyone would pop up, we're like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Like, I don't think Sarah or Darren and I relaxed at the beach at all to make sure y'all came back up out of those waves. And so yesterday I just kept counting, and it was really weird to not have 12. And so, it was good to be together. So yeah, we intended Unite, and it was 5 days of worship and preaching and teaching and community building, and it was organized and not so organized fun. And on the note of the not so organized part, there was no coffee provided anywhere in the dorms, in the worship session, or in the cafeteria until at the leader meeting, the leaders revolted. And finally, by Thursday, we had the brown liquid of life available to the deprived leaders. That being said, the Starbucks that was on the campus got a lot of business, and I'll be turning those receipts in. So the video that you just watched captured more than 1,000 words worth about our experience, but I wanted to share a little bit about what we learned. The theme of the week was called The Rest of Your Life. Now, naturally, at first, what do we think of when we think of the phrase, the rest of your life? We think about, well, the rest of your life, like what we will do, what our life will be like, where we'll work until we die. But the theme was so masterfully stitched together for our time. It was about the rest of our life, as in restoration, rejuvenation, renewing rest, for our life, the rest of our life, for the rest of our life, the kind of pace that we can set to be rested in Christ for the rest of our life. This kind of rest we can only find in Jesus. We can find rest for the rest of our life when we abide in, like the song was singing, and we rest in, and we are in relationship to God. Now, our speakers spoke deeply to our spirits, resonating with our felt needs and our experiences in powerful ways. They spoke to how frenetic our lives have become and our pace has become, and how the pressures and distractions of our lives build and continue to resist any concept of Sabbath and rest that God invites us to. Our Unite pastors taught us through Psalm 23, right? And a way to remember the first part of the psalm was with our hands. And we said, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Let's do it. Yeah. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. We repeated this over and over and over again. these words so that they could sink deep into our memories and into our fingers and into our spirits. And we chewed on each one. And we talked about it. We meditated on it. And we talked, discussed during our youth group time. On the first night, the speaker talked about the burdens that we carry, and she used a backpack to show us as an illustration what we are picking up and putting in our bag and carrying with us, and how heavy it becomes when we conform, and how Jesus conformed to the world, and how Jesus invites us to release it and take inventory on ourselves. What do we turn to for rest? Because maybe the things that we're picking up and putting in our backpack thinking this is restful is actually not restful. What are we turning to for rest? And does it really, really satisfy and sustain us? Is it substances? Is it scrolling? Is it social media? Is it busyness? And then we were taught that the word busy could stand for being under Satan's yoke. Whew. And how is a life in Christ countercultural to these values? We talked about what is rest and slowing down to rhythms of our life that can sustain us each day. And then the second night we looked at John 21, where Jesus had breakfast on the beach with Peter, and Peter had just failed him three times. And Jesus restored Peter. And we were reminded of these powerful, powerful words, right? That our mistakes do not define our abilities or our worth of God's love and kindness. Amen? Everybody falls. She said that how many times? Everyone falls. And God is your good shepherd, pick you up and lead you to green pastures. God wants good things for you, and God is calling you away from the need to do more and perform more and to become simply restful in his presence. Now, these words in our Gen Z terms, low-key hits hard. Thank you. Thank you. Hits different. I actually, like, on our way home with the students in the flex, I was asking them, so I heard some of these words this week, and like, I don't know what you're saying. And so we went through it all, and then I took this test online in my car, and I like got 10 out of 10, although they said that that an older person made the test, and so that's why I won. But whatever. Ah, cool. The second night, okay, so the third night we examined Luke 10 and the story of Mary and Martha, and this blew my mind, because what I've always heard my whole life is that Mary, you know, that Martha was doing the wrong thing and Mary was doing the right thing. But what I loved, what we talked about, that we loved about this message, is the truth that Martha wasn't doing anything wrong. But Jesus pointed out that Mary was choosing the better thing. And it wasn't Mary over and against Martha, but it's Mary before Martha. As in, we are to sit at the feet of Jesus first and foremost, finding the treasure of life and wisdom from him before we get busy serving God. Being with Jesus is the source of our sustaining power as he then sends us out, right? So he talked about it takes a level of wisdom to know the difference between good and evil and right or wrong. And most of our questions and our paradigms are situated around that. But deeper wisdom is to know the difference between what is good and what is better. Best, yeah. Wisdom is knowing what's good and what's best. And Martha chose what was good, but Mary chose what was best. And when we allow the good thing to become the ultimate thing, we miss the best thing that matters most, and that is Jesus. Yeah. Relationship before responsibility. Posture before position. God invites us to work from our rest, not for our rest. So the speaker reminded us there's a difference in the rest we find in Jesus and the temporary distractions that we have. And we got really honest about our distractions and admitting that we are a distracted generation. Think that we are distracted people. Not just this generation. The reality is, we were told, the enemy is wanting to destroy your life, but he doesn't have to destroy you if he can just distract you. If you're distracted enough, you will go down the path of destruction all on your own. The next day we talked openly about fear. And even in the darkest of valleys, fear has an invitation for us. Fear is an invitation to attach to Jesus, and Jesus is with you. Witness. Witness is the love language of God. I am with you. Jesus doesn't leave us alone when we are in pain. That's when he leans in. Jesus has already been there and he has overcome, and there's no place that we can go that Jesus hasn't already been. He comes into the valley with us and he says, I've been down here before and I am with you, and I know a way out even through death because he is resurrection and hope. Finally, we were reminded that our sin doesn't disqualify us from our purpose. And our purpose may be to know God, be in relationship with God, and be with him so others can experience God through us and know him. When we accept this call, we were reminded that we do it over and over and over and over and over again. It's not a one-time thing. I checked the box. I'm done. I'm good. It is a constant, constant, consistent coming to God over and over and over again. And then we were left with this charge from Jesus. Walk with me, work with me, and watch how I do it. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever is not a fast pace. It is a slow and steady growth that leads to a consistently productive life in Christ. And Jesus says, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. The rest of your life for the rest of your life. That is what we learned, but in five days and 10 sessions. So there you go. That's the TED Talk version. It's amazing. Amazing. It is just what we needed. And now I want to invite a few of our students up to share about their Unite experience and what they heard. And before I begin the interviews, I just want to say that this week that we spent with these students just was mind blowing. This generation is amazing. All right. You are inquisitive and genuine and hopeful and caring and deep and compassionate and passionate and thoughtful. They ask and they search and they yearn for truth and they worship without holding back and they go after God with all that is within them. Even if they don't have so many questions and doubts, they're still going and seeking. And being with them on this trip, for our leaders, we can stand and say together, is one of the greatest honors of our life. And I want to pause again and just give a huge shout out to Sarah Peterson and Darren Bridges, who poured their whole selves into this trip, so deeply loving these students with the love of Christ and serving with humility. All right, it's your turn, kids. I want to call up Ivy, Kai, Daniel, Emma, and Claire to the hot seats. All right, we worked hard last night thinking about our experiences and processing and what questions that I would ask and what we would like to share today. So it is my great honor to begin this conversation, and I'm going to start with Ivy, and I'm going to invite you to recount for us the most memorable, fun highlight, or just a memory for you and the group that you had this week.
Guys, this is the hardest question out there.
There's so many things. Yeah.
Also, the notes I have are so vague. I regret this. But the biggest thing that I just love was the worship. The worship was so strong and powerful. The first day, everyone was screaming their hearts out, yet it didn't feel whole. But then by the second day, the after dinner session, it was just so amazing. I felt the Lord come on us. Like, I just felt the Holy Spirit wash through us as I got chills. Like, I literally never get cold. But then when we sang the lyrics, like, put your hand on us, I just felt chills go through me so hard. I have another thing, but I don't know if I'll be able to say it quick enough.
No, wait. Oh, you have another one? Sorry, I missed it. Okay.
Do I have another? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, me, Emma, Anna, and Audrey were all going down to the mosh pit, but there were too many people to go down there because fire reasons we couldn't go down there. So we went to the closest seats possible. And that was by the speakers, like the people who did the sermons. Just keep that in mind, people. And so me and Claire were holding hands during one of the songs. And we were just like swaying back and forth, and then all of a sudden a new song came on, and it was "You Hold Me Tight." Oh. And me and Claire could not stop laughing. Like, I literally fell to the ground laughing so hard. And then the new lyric came, "You won't let me go." And Claire whispered into my ear, "You won't let me go." And I literally could not stop laughing. And those speakers in front of me asked me if I was okay, because they could not tell if I was crying or laughing.
Oh.
And so it it seemed like I was bawling my eyes out on my knees. And so I was just laughing though. So it was the funnest experience ever.
Oh, that is awesome. All right, three clap for Ivy. Oh, we have to teach you how to do that. So at youth group, we do a three clap for someone. We go, boom. All right. Kai, how did you get closer to others in the group, and how did you see the group go closer together as a community, or just grow together as a community?
So for me personally, I definitely felt like a very strong sense of community. I felt a lot of growth, a lot of coming closer together. Because here at home, when we think of faith, when we think of God, when we think of our stance on religion, Christianity as a whole, a lot of thoughts probably come to mind, especially when you're hanging out with friends, when you're hanging out in public, even in like a grocery store, when you're having conversations. When the thought of your own faith comes up, a lot of times we'll probably think to ourselves, is it okay to bring this up? Is it okay to talk about this? Is this socially acceptable in the moment? Am I going to be judged? And that restricts a lot of how we interact with each other. That restricts a lot how we interact with God. That it restricts our own faith from being able to be used within us. So one thing I noticed at Unite was that the entire community was not only supportive and allowing of faith, but it also enriched it. It helped bring it out in us. It was encouraged. So when we would start talking about God with each other, instead of people kind of like, oh, that's interesting, people would ask questions, people would get curious, and conversations would start, and that just brought everyone so much closer together. It felt very supportive. It felt loving. God was really allowed to work in us, through us, and around us, and it didn't feel like it was some social norm. It felt more like God was with us in that moment.
Yeah. So, definitely. So good. Thank you so much, Kai. Three clap for Kai. Wow, you are fast learners. Daniel, same question. Like, how did you grow closer to others in the group, or how did you see the group grow together as a community?
Well, at the start of the trip, I barely like knew anybody or like were friends with them. But like at the end of the trip, I became like really good friends with basically everyone there. And I think it's because I've had like at least a few conversations with each one of them. Maybe just casual, or some was like about faith. And adding on to what Kai said, like we would have small groups after our worship session, and those would just go on forever because everyone wanted to share something. Like I wanted to sleep, but like no.
Yeah, we just didn't stop. It was amazing. Yeah, it's beautiful. Sorry, anything else? No, awesome. Thank you so much, Daniel. That was so good. Three clap. Next. All right, Emma, I have a question for you. What is one way that God worked in your life this week?
I think one way God worked in all of our lives this week was through, like, what each sermon was about. And one of the sermons that, like, it wasn't really a sermon, it was more of a video. We were watching how, like, even us now, like, we, like, kind of want to always upgrade to, like, the new thing, the new, like, phone, like, a new car. But then it, like, switched, and it was, like, Jesus downgraded for us, kind of, in a way. He, like, he started at the top. He could have been, like, born in, like, a royal family, had everything, but yet he went to, a family of poverty with, like, parents who weren't as rich, and it just showed, like, he did that all for us. And that's one thing I really liked, and I think that really, like, was a good reminder to have. And then another thing was, like, we did this, like, thing during one of the sermons with, we were supposed to light candles if you were saying yes to Jesus for the first time, or if you were reconnecting with God. And I think that was a good, like, reminder to, like, check in where you are in your faith and seeing if you would need that candle in for that. And I really like that. And it shows that he, like, God will always welcome you back, even if you drift apart for a little bit.
Beautiful. So, so good. Thank you so much, Emma. All right, ready? Three clap for Emma. Nice. All right, Claire, your turn. What is one new thing you learned this week?
I don't actually know specifically what new thing I learned, but I think this whole trip definitely, this whole theme definitely, like, started a new conversation in my head, and, like, like, I explore, like, some of the ideas I never thought about. Mm-hmm. But also, before I want, like, talk about what I've, like, learned, I feel like, actually, yeah, let's just talk about what I learned, sorry. So, like Becca was saying, the whole theme was around the rest of our life. It was talking about how we should pull away from this, the distraction, all the fast-paced media and all that. Also, like, school, like, pressure from school, grade, or trying to fit in, that's all the pressure. And, like, what we should take rest from, that's, like, kind of the theme of the whole trip. Mm-hmm. But I feel like this whole thing can also apply into a bigger, into not just our generation, but the whole societal problem. Like, I think our whole society, like, we have deep-rooted value of productivity. We chase for productivity. We want innovation. We want a lot of, like, we want economy growth, and this is a thing that our society is so focused on. And I think, like, we have to realize that even our church, everyone, like, we're within this society, and we realizing this make us make time to rest and then pull our time away from this pace of society, and then that's when we can connect with God.
Yeah, yeah. Preach, right? Well, yeah, we'll give a clap. Okay, then three claps. All right. Give a lots of claps for this whole team, and then I bring in my whole team. All right, thank you. You guys may go. Thank you. Did I get everybody? Yeah, you may go. All right. Oh my gosh. I would like to invite Darren and Micah and Evan to the seats. All right. You can claim that one. That works. You get your pick, Darren. You get three choices. Oh, we're playing musical chairs. Oh. All right. Well, then I get to sit down. Darren, I'm going to start with you. What were the best, most challenging parts of being a leader at Unite?
Challenging, like, there was a lot of prep. Like, the prep was kind of chaotic. There was a lot of last-minute things. So that was challenging. A lot of times with, you know, students or anybody, people management, there can be a lot of surprises or challenges you have to deal with. There wasn't really a lot of those on this trip. It was actually pretty smooth, which I'm grateful for. Some groups got stuck with the kind of like airport chaos that happened, had to stay an extra day, but I'm thankful. Anyways, everything went well for us, and the kids, there were no like TPing other people's dorms or anything. They were gracious and did a, you know, anyways. Yeah. So the challenges, it was easy, like, in that sense. Mm-hmm.
True.
The joys. So the joys, like my heart, like one of my favorite things is to see people grow to, like, when they're stuck with something, be able to grow past it or are we allowed to cry?
I am barely holding it together, Darren.
All right.
So it's okay. You cry, I'll cry.
I probably will. I love seeing people grow. But especially kids. I love seeing kids learn things. If there's stuff they're stuck with, they can't learn, and then they overcome it in that sense of like, and my heart is for kids as they're, my daughter and the kids we've worked with, like, I want, by the time when they face challenges, I want them to have the tools that they need in order to deal with them. Mm. Like, that's the dream, is like when they get to 18 or whenever they're kind of out of our purview, that they have the tools that they need to deal with life. So that's my heart. And so, that gives me joy when I see kids, like, facing challenges, growing, and being equipped.
Mm, so, so good. And where did you see the students grow?
So, do you like that segue? I led right into that question.
I know. I'm like, it's almost like we planned this.
Yeah. But it was my honest answer. It just happens to be.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you.
Where did I see? So, I mean, you guys heard all the things that people have already said. A couple of things I'll call out. Like, I'm an introvert, so my heart, I feel that sense of, like, when you're being in social situations can be challenging. You're just like, do I have to? But, and there were kids, there's some of the students who have that tendency, and they came, you're going to be like around 12, like 12,
yeah,
right? You'll be around people all the time. And they took that risk. They took on that challenge, and they thrived. Like, and they were accepted by the community. And that's so encouraging. I love that element of growth. Another thing I'll call out is, like, there were a couple, like, especially the elder folks, Kai and Evan.
Let's go.
I'm not going to say anything about Kai. He's the same. No, the other people, there's a whole feeling of acceptance. Like the group, everyone is included. It's like, hey, I'm going to go do this. You want to come with? And there, you could tell that the younger ones were looking up and they were being affirmed. And that is a beautiful thing to see too. But growing as a leader, the leaders growing as leaders, and the other students are growing and just like feeling accepted and feeling welcomed by the group.
Yeah, 100%. I just affirm that. This group is unique and lovely in how inclusive and loving and compassionate you are to one another. It's beautiful. Beloved community. Where did you see God at work, Darren?
Yeah, so I'll start by saying I don't like fishing. Only because it's boring. Hold on, no stones or fish hooks or whatever you throw. Okay, so just a minute. So growing up, my tendency when I have free time, I'm like, I'm going to fill it with activity, right? Like, I'm like, I want to play games. I want to watch a movie. Like anytime I'm like, the way you maximize life is fill it, do things. And fishing for me is like, dude, you're just sitting there, right? But so I'm like 44. And like about 5 years ago, I finally kind of, it connected with me that when you stop doing things and you create a context or a space where there's a few people and not a lot going on and not a lot of interruptions, something can emerge, right? Like, and there's trust. Something can emerge, like conversations can emerge that couldn't emerge in any other state. If you're filling it, those conversations won't emerge. And those are the kind of conversations that like can be the most vital, like the most, we can share things that we can't share with anyone else. We can like, even in unpacking and processing, you might not even know what you're carrying until you share it in that conversation. Mm. So
yeah,
I've learned to appreciate those types of space, like activities or things that create those open spaces where those conversations can emerge. So I still don't really like fishing. But if you ask me to go fishing, you might have to ask me twice, but I'll think about it because I value what it brings. I value this. And so the question was, where have I seen God work? We saw God work. I believe that God worked through the worship. I believe God worked through the speakers. Those are like the active parts, right? And then I think in the inactive parts, the conversations, the affirmation during group time, the individual conversations between students and between students and leaders, I think that's actually the thing I'm more excited about at this stage of my life, because I think it's like the magic sauce.
Yeah.
It's so vital.
Yeah,
so
rich.
I think God worked in both of those.
Yeah, so good. Yeah, what I think with Unite, which was not expected, is I thought it would pack us out to the brim with schedule. And the whole thing was rest, so it created space. And like Darren was saying, like the space allowed for room for things to emerge that wouldn't have before. It was beautifully said. And so much so that like the students were saying, we would talk for way longer than given the space, because things started emerging. And so much so now that we were like, where could we ever do this again, where we'd sit around for 2 hours and talk about what is fear for 2 hours, right, or whatever it is. So now we're going to start a pizza and pontificating night at our house, right? All right. Thank you, Darren. 3 clap for Darren. Can you pass the mic to Micah? What is something that you needed to hear this week that you heard?
Okay. I got some notes here, and I also have a voice that has died down from the mosh pit. Okay. You got it. So the verse that kind of stuck in my mind the most, because it is what we meditated on every single day, was Psalm 23. And I'm going to read it out loud. And if you guys know it, you guys can read it as well. Like, you guys can recite it with me. It goes, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and amen." That's kind of what stuck with me the most. And there's some major points in this that kind of stuck with me, like, a lot. And kind of, there are two different points here I have inside of this verse. The first one is, I will fear no evil. One thing that we talked about in our small group after one of the days, day two, day three, I don't really know, was in the Bible, it calls for us to fear the Lord and for that to keep us closer to Him. And what I kind of look at from this is that to fear is to respect. And what this is calling us to do is not to respect the evil, that we should not fear the evil, that the evil doesn't deserve the fear and respect from us. And that was really big for me. Another one for this is when he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That was a really big one for me too, because we were talking about how when you are breaking bread with people, when you're having a conversation with people, that kind of is a deep, it's kind of like builds a deep connection with you. And it's kind of the opposite of being enemies with each other. And, this was really deep for me because, there's so much evil in this world, and sometimes it's so hard to be able to connect with just something. And the fact that God is there for you to connect with Him, for you to have a conversation with Him is just so deep for me. It kind of makes me think of the Christmas truce in World War I a bit. But that's kind of a different story. So yeah, that's kind of the biggest thing for me.
Wow, beautifully. Thank you. That preaches. Let's clap. Thank you so much, Micah. Can you pass the microphone to Evan? Siri keeps talking to me. See, distractions. Mike, I don't want to talk to you. Go away. Evan, how have you been changed by this experience?
So before this, before Unite, I kind of, my faith was kind of more logic-based, and it's the Bible says, praise the Lord with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I kind of had the first one because I would think about it a lot, but I never really felt the Lord in my heart kind of until after Unite or during Unite. And so there's a lot of moments when there were speakers were preaching, just we were worshiping in the arena. Not that any of you know what that is, but yeah. I know you do. But I just really felt the Lord with me and just sort of knowing that it's more than just what you say and what you do. It also is how you feel. And so that really helped me connect with everyone here and also, you know, to guide my path as I do whatever I do for who knows whatever after I'm gone.
Right.
But yeah, so that's something that, yeah. And so this is kind of something that has driven me to, I want to get baptized.
August 11, Baptism Sunday. Let's go. Thank you so much, everyone. I would like to invite all of our students who went to Unite to come and lead us. Well, heck, let's just invite all of our students. Come on up. We're going to lead you all in the Lord's, not Lord's Prayer, Psalm 23 together. And then we'll pass it off to Pastor Austin to close us out, or to Kim, rather, for worship. All right, come on up. All right, so we're going to lead this with you. If you guys could say this with us, we would love that. I think it'll be on your screen in a minute. No? Okay, good. That's fine. Okay. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valleys, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Let's give it up for all the students one more time.